Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. What a week it has been. Predators played last night. No game today. Carolina Hurricanes got a little bit of a COVID problem. That will be touched on all throughout today's show. Vanderbilt postponing their game tomorrow because of COVID. That, I'm sure, will be touched on this show. Arthur Smith officially introduces the Falcons head coach. I'm sure that'll be touched on at some point on this show. But this week, the meltdown in Knoxville. And Mark Howard is with us today on Stillman & Company. Mark, not the first meltdown you've seen in the history of Knoxville, but maybe one of the craziest. How are you today?
I am good. Kind of saw this coming. The way it was choreographed, you know, we'll get into all that. But not totally shocked. The Predators news definitely changes my viewing plans tonight, though.
I was going to go to the game. You know, I was ready to go to the game, and I've been to one Titans game this year, so I haven't done anything sports fun since February when the Predators played the Avalanche, and even though I'd have to sit up at the top and, you know, be socially distant from everybody and whatever, I was ready to get out there, watch them go play on the ice, and obviously that's not going to be the case. But Mark, everybody has asked me, they want to know, what does Mark Howard think of the latest in Knoxville? In fact, when Johnny Majors passed away, Floyd and I wanted to spend a lot of the show talking about the great Johnny Majors, and I went on YouTube looking for some old Johnny Majors footage. There is Mark Howard and Hope Hines on the Johnny Majors retirement press conference from News Channel 5. I think I was 2 years old at the time. And that's how far back Mark goes with witnessing meltdowns at Tennessee. So, Mark, the floor is yours. Your thoughts on everything that's happened in Volland over the last 30 hours.
Well, this was, I don't know if you're a Sopranos fan, but the only thing this lacked was Christopher Moltisanti and Paulie Walnuts. This was a hit. I mean, as simple as that on Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, we can sit here and the Dan Patrick story notwithstanding, which if you really ask me, I don't believe they gave recruits money in McDonald's bags. I just don't believe that. That is something, you know, maybe from the 80s or the 90s, but I just don't see them doing that. But whatever the case, they were looking for a way to get Jeremy Pruitt out of there. And you know, it's pretty obvious what Jeremy Pruitt didn't do, and that was beat Tennessee's three biggest opponents, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, 0-9. And I mean, didn't just go 0-9. He went 0-9 in a big way. He wasn't even close. Average margin of loss, 26.3 against those teams in those nine games. Never developed a quarterback, really. Never developed a consistent offense, recruited well, but really that's it. I mean, they were lacking on both sides of the ball. But where this leaves Tennessee is interesting because they're not totally out of the woods. Jeremy Pruitt is likely going to sue, and the depositions should be fascinating. you know, it looks like he might have a case. But Tennessee came up with enough righteous indignation yesterday about what the Pruitt staff did or didn't do. Philip Fulmer, quote unquote, retired. Believe me, there was a gun to his head. They can sit there and say why, you know, he's not there and why he's not going to be around to see the next coach through, but don't believe that for a second. And the Fulmer regime too, and that underlines another thing, Jared, really, about how inept Philip Fulmer was as an athletics director.
Yep.
Making a bad hire, compounding it by giving that hire a contract extension over the summer, made a mediocre hire for women's basketball, which is important to people there, and rendered that program a lot less relevant. You know, we could get into that.
Can I go one further on that, Mark?
I don't want to hear about giving Rick Barnes a contract extension. Any moron would have done that. So all in all, it's a total mess there. It's a total dumpster fire. And We'll see who's going to ride in to the rescue.
So I want to take it one step further on the Fulmer thing. Although, to me, I never thought this was going to work out with Fulmer. And I think that Fulmer is a part of the story, but I think it's not the big story. Everything you laid out for why you wanted to fire Jeremy Pruitt was reasons you fire him without cause. And this is ultimately where I think that this is the problem with Tennessee, in my opinion, is that UT continues to make mistake after mistake after mistake. And it's all so short-sighted. Like, I thought it was incredibly short-sighted when they had come to an agreement with Greg Schiano that they turned around and said, well, we've decided not to hire Greg Schiano. And maybe Schiano wouldn't have fit. I don't know. I think he's a pretty good coach. But maybe he wouldn't have fit. But even if he didn't fit, the problem with that is, what is the long-term damage of everything that took place? Maybe Fulmer's a better AD than John Curry. I don't think that. But maybe he is. But the long-term damage that that coup led to, which now has turned into this mess, which now I think is another short-sighted problem the Vols have made, just goes to the dysfunction that that program is. And if you're ever going to actually get things right, you're going to have to start doing them the right way with the big picture in mind. And I thought yesterday, again, if the McDonald's bags thing is true, and I'm not just going to blatantly dismiss it only because I haven't heard anything else. So for me, it's still on the table. I mean, I'm not saying I totally believe it, but I'm also saying I don't not believe it. It's still on the table for me. But unless it's that blatant that Pruitt was doing that, why fire the man for cause just to save the $12 million, when I think the damage to the brand and the damage for coaches who might want to take that job and all of that is going to be much larger than $12 million? Because, well, how many coaches are going to want to go somewhere where they basically don't think that they negotiate in good faith? And that's why I think Tennessee's a mess.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, hey, at least at Auburn, they stab you from the front. You know, they do give you your buyout. You know, you can sit here and argue that maybe, you know, Gus Malzahn was fired prematurely, but at least they paid him his money. But getting back to Fulmer, you know, there's always been a lot of speculation on whether he did pull a coup, that he pulled the power play, sort of taking advantage of a chancellor, Davenport, who really didn't know the landscape very well. And sort of making the easy move and going to Fulmer. But I said it at the time, just Fulmer coming back to be the athletics director at Tennessee shows you the factionalism that exists there. Where can you remember a coach getting fired at a school? He did have a great run of success, won a national championship, a Hall of Fame coach, no doubt, but a Hall of Fame coach who got fired, who comes back as the AD. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. So, yeah, and he was in a tough position because the field had really sort of winnowed its way down, and it's going to be interesting this time around where they've got to make some interesting judgments, because there's a really good coach that by all accounts really wants this job, but his profile really doesn't fit the situation they're in. And then you've got another coach who probably in other circumstances might be interested in the job, but might look at it as being so damaged and so late into the season, into the year, that it wouldn't be a good idea maybe to take it. And that's Billy Napier. And then you've got, you know, a bunch of outside candidates. So, yeah, the situation that exists there at Tennessee, a job that a lot of people feel like is the toughest job in America. Yes. USA, because of the ridiculous expectations of the fan base, the nastiness that exists around social media and everywhere else. This job is not going to be as easy a sell as everybody thinks.
Well, and let's not forget the stupidity of the administration.
Yeah.
And the administration keeps changing. And that it goes back to it, right? Like, it's, and this maybe leads in from the vitriol that the fans have of the football program. But go back to when Butch Jones was coach, and everybody loved Butch Jones. And then Butch started to fall off, and then everybody hated Butch. So then we had to fire Butch. Okay, I was on board with that. But then John Curry didn't get the coach we wanted, so we got to fire him. And then Beverly Davenport hired the wrong athletic director, so we got to fire her. And now we have to bring in all these new people. And now we brought in an athletic director we like, and we brought in a coach we like, and now we don't like him anymore, so we got to fire him. Even though we fired him for cause, when again, unless it's the McDonald's bag story, you know, what it sounds like they don't like about him is when you fire somebody without cause. But they fire him for cause. Then Fulmer retires because, well, we don't like him anymore. So it feels so cyclical of incompetence, and I don't feel like the Vols are any closer today. Did I think Jeremy Pruitt was going to win there as the coach after last year? No, I didn't. But I don't feel like they're any closer to getting themselves out of this hole and getting back to national prominence before they did what, or, you know, before they did what they did. I think they're maybe even further away because it's so bad now that I just can't see anybody wanting to go somewhere where, hey, if you move your family and you take on all this pressure and you work your butt off and you still get beat by Alabama, well, you'll get fired and you'll walk away with $15 million like every other SEC coach. Nope, not Tennessee. They're going to make up some reason to fire you for cause. And I think that that hurts the brand as much as anything. And that's why I don't think they're going to have to get a coach that would have taken the Vanderbilt job. That's where they are right now. And I hate it for them, but this is the bed Tennessee has made, and they keep making the bed worse every time.
I thought the most interesting words written yesterday were by David Ubbin of The Athletic in the first paragraph of his story. And he said, when Jeremy Pruitt took the job, someone he knew in the coaching business told him he's either going to have them on probation in 3 years or in the playoff or both. So what does that tell you?
Pretty much everything. And he doesn't get his money. And until I see some evidence, I'm not on Tennessee's side as far as firing the man with cause. Now, if the allegations come out, and they will at some point, and you know me, I am hoping for discovery. I want hands-on Bibles. I want lawsuits. I want court cases. I want judges. I want appeals. I want it all. And then everything has to come out. Every text message, every email, everything has to come out. And I want it. But until I start seeing some evidence as to what he may have done, I'm on his side. Which is, you can't just make up a reason to fire the guy with cause. I mean, we've all made mistakes in our lives we'd like to get out of. But sometimes when you sign that dotted line, you got to pay the man his money. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. So I guess to sum it up, Mark, you do not think that what Tennessee did as far as firing Pruitt for cause damages them that much going forward.
I think the bigger questions are going to be, how severe will the NCAA sanctions be now?
Let's get your phones on it. 615-737-1025. Mark Howard is with us today. Coming up next, Mark alluded to it, I alluded to it, the Dan Patrick McDonald's bags rumors and why I'm not so quick to write it off. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
I was told that, you know, there's a few things that are going on here. And I asked my source, I said, how did they get these assistant coaches on recruiting violations? And he said, well, they put money into McDonald's bags and gave them to the recruits when they came on campus. Some of the campus visits were not organized or they were not above board, but they were handing out cash. I don't know if it was through the drive-thru.
That's a Happy Meal.
So you literally had bagmen, and they put the cash in McDonald's bags and handed it to the recruits. My source said they were so in your face with this. They weren't even trying to hide it.
That was Dan Patrick this morning on the Dan Patrick Show. And guess what? I, unlike Mark Howard, who is with us today on Stillman & Company, I'm not willing to discredit Dan Patrick. Rumors of the money in the McDonald's bags. And you want to know why, Mark?
I would have thought they were McRibs, to be honest with you, which would have been worth something to me.
Imagine taking a bite into one of those.
Exactly. It has gotten angry denials from within the Tennessee program. So there have been a lot slicker ways that they've paid athletes off, you know, with those credit cards, those preloaded credit cards and stuff like that. Listen, if they did it, kind of retro, if that's the case, because they've kind of moved forward and done it in a lot more, you know, creative and less ostentatious ways.
I'm not saying they didn't do it. I'm not saying they did do it. One thing that bothers me, and you just hit on it. I saw Wes Rucker tweeted this out. I'm sure everybody else has tweeted this out too, that said that people at Tennessee are mad. People are mad at Tennessee in Tennessee because these allegations with Dan Patrick are so crazy in there. Well, if I'm a reporter, and I'm not, but if I were a reporter and I had people at Tennessee telling me those allegations aren't true, well, I'd say, if you want me to believe those allegations aren't true, you got to tell me something. You don't have to tell me everything, but you have to tell me something about what Jeremy Pruitt did. Because to the entire world, including all of us, it looks like you guys found a reason to fire the man. You just came up with something. He sent this email to the recruit's dad's personal email and not to the recruit dad's work email. That's a violation. He's got to go. But I don't see any of that. I haven't seen anything leak. The only thing I've seen is in the letter from Pruitt's attorney, which was Pruitt wasn't even given an opportunity to respond to the allegations, which he doesn't have to if you've got proof of it. But I'm only going to not believe the McDonald's bag story, which I would agree is very far-fetched. But I'm only going to not believe it if they actually give me something that gives me an idea of why they fired this man. Because you cannot – I just don't think people are valuing – how bad it is to fire a man for cause when deep down inside you don't really have any cause.
If you really think about it and ask yourself this question, if Jeremy Pruitt were fabulously successful through 3 years and this came up, NCAA violations, you think Tennessee's going to fire him? Hell no. So they were, again, this is a case of, the business, you know, wasn't doing well, so you get somebody to torch the business and maybe collect the insurance money, because this is just Tennessee trying to get out of paying a buyout because they're already on the hook, you know, for the past football coach. And this is what happens when you make a succession of bad hires. So my advice to Tennessee is go out and actually hire an athletics director who has experience as an athletics director and somebody you have confidence in, and let him or her make the hire.
But you don't think this is horrendous for the brand? The idea of, you know, hey, we can't really afford to fire coaches anymore because we may not be as rich as we let on. So we're going to come up with some BS reason to fire the coach. We did it. And you think that Gus Malzahn, who's enjoying his buyout money at Auburn, is going to want to come take this job? Or Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, he's going to look at this job and say, you know what? Yeah, they screwed the last guy over, which means they'd probably screw me over too. But you know what? I need to give it a try because it's Tennessee. I think this is horrible for the brand. You can't get a coach doing this kind of stuff.
First of all, they're not getting Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell's going to wait. Gus Malzahn, yeah, I think he'd come here. Hugh Freeze, yeah, I think he'd come here. But it's a hard sell to bring a guy in who lost his last job for NCAA and personal violations in a program that will probably get hit with sanctions, probably lose some scholarships. So, you know, Hugh Freeze might be just totally off the table. And if that's the case, it's going to make this search pretty, you know, a lot more difficult. Hugh Freeze would almost be the easy answer to this problem. because he's won the SEC. The fan base would be excited about him. It would be considered a win by Tennessee. You know, some people might sit there and go, well, you know, he's done this and he's done that. But at least for me personally, my feeling is don't make these guys out to be saints because they're not.
I hear you, and it'd be great for Tennessee to get Hugh Freeze and all of that. But, I mean, it'd be great for me to marry Kate Upton, but it's not going to happen. And
well, that, I think it's a lot more likely, first of all, Kate's already married. But
that's
I think
why
it's a
not
lot more
happen.
Likely that Hugh Freeze comes to Knoxville. I don't think that's out of the question.
Oh, Sankey is putting the foot down. It is that, not like,
Sankey can't really do that. He can have an opinion, but he really can't tell you that you can't hire him. Supposedly his double secret probation is pretty much up. And in this situation, he really can't tell Tennessee, nor should he, that they can't hire Hugh Freeze. If they hire Hugh Freeze and they get in trouble again, that's on them. I understand the conference suffers, but in this particular case, I don't think Greg Sankey is holding the hammer. And
how
I've talked
can they
to
have that press conference yesterday, and the SEC commissioner says, I don't want this guy in my conference, and then them still hire him?
He can't really keep him out.
I know, but I'm talking about Tennessee to have the press conference they had yesterday where they talked about integrity between kissing Philip Fulmer's butt, which we didn't buy, and their integrity thing, which we only kind of bought. I mean, how can you turn around and hire Hugh Freeze? I think there is as good of a chance that Kate Upton and I, who is married and has already had a kid with Justin Verlander, I think there is as good of a chance of me and her getting married as there is of Hugh Freeze coming to coach the Vols.
You've got some people on the board of trust, and Peyton Manning's going to be part of this coaching search. So who does he bring in? Adam Gase?
One of the things.
Let the athletic director go out and find one. Seriously. What's that?
I hear you. I think it's crazy. I think it is borderline nuts to think that Tennessee's going to just fire this coach with cause and move on with their day. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tommy is going to kick us off today. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tommy, go ahead. Thank you for calling.
How's it going, Jared?
Good.
I just want to start off by saying, man, I've been listening to your show for years. I enjoy it every day. It's one of the few places that I find I can actually laugh out loud when I'm riding around in the car. I think you're doing a good job, man.
Thanks, man.
I do miss listening to Floyd Reese, but your new co-host is doing a good job there too. But as a lifelong Tennessee Vols football fan, regardless of whether the allegations against Jeremy Pruitt are true or not, I'm extremely thrilled that he's getting fired anyway, to be honest with you.
And that's just because you just don't like him, because you think he's a bad coach.
You know, I don't know how to come up with a better word than he comes off as an idiot, man. I mean, the guy have a very disappointing football season this year, obviously, but every time at the post-game interview after they've had another terrible loss to a SEC school or any school, regardless, Pruitt always says, and for someone that's coaching at an institution of higher learning, he always says, the kid done real good. That's incorrect English grammar. That's just
Tommy, I appreciate your call. I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and judge whether or not Jeremy Pruitt is smart or dumb or whatever. I would say this. I told this to Ian during the break, Mark. The thing that drove me the most batty insane about Jeremy Pruitt, and keep in mind, I'm not a Vols fan. I want the Vols to be good. Even though I grew up hating the Vols, I want them to be good because I feel like it is time for them to be good again. Like, it is time for Alabama-Tennessee to mean something. It is time for Georgia-Tennessee, time for Florida-Tennessee, for those to be fun games. If you had to fire them with cause for anything, it's the inability to put a mask on. I mean, I have never, I mean, the way he tried to wear a mask, like, to me, that is the most for-cause thing I have ever seen. Like, just put the mask on over your nose, coach. It's not that hard. Every other coach is doing it. You're not. That was the thing that bothered me the most.
That bothered you the most.
As we're airing out our Jeremy Pruitt grievances, I guess. I mean, bothered me.
Mine was the math problem that Jeremy Pruitt had. He seemed to think football games lasted only 30 minutes because his teams certainly didn't show up for the second half. It was when you see that, that's telling you your team got outcoached, just got outplayed. And it really got to the point where Tennessee got to be so predictable with their second half implosions. The inability to develop a quarterback, the inability to solve their offensive line problems, even though the talent there got a lot better, especially last year. There's almost no excuse for it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mark Howard is in today. And again, just picking up the pieces of where the Vols are going. 615-737-1025. How about Fulmer yesterday? Some of the things he said. We'll touch on that coming up next. We'll get Mark's thoughts. Plus, I see all your texts and your calls, and we're to them as we always are. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. I should let you know, tune in to Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning on Preds Game Day at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in a Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate, hopefully, will be Friday morning. We'll keep our eyes peeled on that one. Mark Howard's with the Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The unexpected need to hire a new coach caused me to reevaluate my place in the organization. I knew we need stability and continuity at Tennessee, and our next football coach needs to be on our sideline for 10 years or more, and I am confident that we will find that coach. But also am confident that he will want and need to know who his athletic director is going to be for the duration. I asked Chancellor Plowman if we could revisit my position, and she agreed. My thoughts are I'm 70 years old. I am not going to be the athletic director at age 80. It was always my expectation I would move on from athletics sooner rather than later. It only makes sense that I make that move this semester so that a new coach with a new athletic director can implement their vision together.
That was Philip Fulmer yesterday, and don't expect anybody to say that Fulmer wasn't pushed out. Everybody telling you, hey, you know what? I think we need a long football coach, and I don't think I'm going to be here that long. And I mean, when he gave Jeremy Pruitt the extension, did he not think that, hey, there'll be another athletic director when you're here in this extension? I guess not. Mark Howard with us today. What do we make of some of the things What do we make of some of the things Fulmer said yesterday in the press conference and the way that all went surrounding him? What did you make of Fulmer's performance yesterday? And not only that, but the performance of everybody around Fulmer as far as ring kissing was concerned last night.
Yeah, I've been to some Broadway shows, and what Philip Fulmer did was very well choreographed. Gave him a soft landing to get out of there. Yeah, there are a few things here, Jared, if you don't mind me getting a little bit long-winded. First of all, I live with two teenagers, and you'll learn when you have kids, and those of you who have kids out there will recognize behavior and stuff your kids try to pull, the same crap you did when you were their age or whatever. And I always tell them after I bust them, at least I respect the effort. You know, I would have been a lot more respectful of Pruitt and his staff if they were really giving money to recruits. At least give it to them in Bitcoin. At least be contemporary. You know, don't go 70s and 80s on me. But the other thing, the other thing that sort of smells, to be honest with you, is that money would have to come from a rogue booster. And I just don't see Jeremy Pruitt having the connections, to the Tennessee boosters, like maybe a Fulmer would, you know, to get that kind of cash. But all that aside, with Fulmer, we'll never know if he did pull a power play to get John Curry out, you know, if he stabbed John Curry in the back and took his job just so he could be AD. But the bottom line is, and I've known Philip Fulmer for 35 years. I like him a lot. He's been very good to me over the years, has gotten aggravated with me, no doubt. But he didn't do a good job as AD. He made a bad hire again, thought it was a good one, but it turned out not to be a good one. And let's remember, one of Fulmer's failings at the end of his tenure as coach was that he just couldn't bring himself to fire a coach on his staff. His predecessor, Johnny Majors, had no problem getting rid of coaches. But Fulmer, for whatever reason, wouldn't do that. Maybe loyal to a fault. You can make that argument. But it started happening to the detriment of the football program. And then at the end of this season, his total refusal. I mean, he absolutely stood by his man at the end of last season, as disastrous as it was. And now he's throwing him under the bus. So, you know, Phillip's getting out of there and hoping not to get dirty from what Tennessee and or Pruitt is doing or has done. So, you know, this whole thing stinks.
The one that got me, Ian, if you could, Fulmer was asked about Pruitt's tenure. And I he hired him. And at some point, it's like Fulmer couldn't bring himself to say, yeah, I screwed up. Because when you fire a guy after you gave him an extension in September, that means you screwed up. And Fulmer could not bring himself to say that. Here's what Fulmer said yesterday when he was asked about Pruitt's tenure and maybe some of the things Pruitt did okay at.
We found the program, you know, in quite a mess at the time.
Is the program not in a mess right now? Am I missing something? Is the team good? Is the roster built? Is the quarterback situation figured out? Is it not a mess now? I'm sorry, Ian. Go ahead.
I think we definitely have upgraded the program in general, relationships on campus, relationships period. Certainly the recruiting has been good. There's some really outstanding young men in the program, not that there wasn't before. Definitely, there's just lots of good things that have happened. This is very unfortunate, in the sense we're going to have to work really hard to keep it from setting us back.
I just love it. 3-7, fired for cheating, and hey, you know, recruiting was good. I mean, it was, you know, recruiting was.
Well, it was. He was great. He was grasping at straws. I thought at some point he was going to go, all right, you got me. Because, you know, Butch Jones recruited well, too. And at least one more games. You know, suddenly, you know, Butch Jones looks like Newt Rockne, the Newt Rockne of Knoxville. So congratulations on that. I also think it's really interesting that Fulmer didn't exactly try to take the bullet for Pruitt. If he really felt that strongly for him, you know, he could have said, listen, this guy deserves another year. But no, it just all seems like this was orchestrated by the powers that be, whether it was the new chancellor or whatever, to get Pruitt out and to get Fulmer out. So this was apparently above Phillip's pay grade. When they decided all of this, and you know, Don DePlowman, she's in charge, man. And she has set the standard. So we'll see what happens from here.
She's in charge now until they fire her like everybody else. Let's go back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Keith is up next on Fulmer. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. I've been listening along. I totally agree with the whole Philip Fulmer thing. I'm glad he's finally out. I think he was a huge part of our problem. And he sure did throw everybody under the bus but him.
You know what bothers me, though? Thank you for your call, Keith. You know what bothers me is that 3 years ago, Fulmer was the savior. Oh, Jared, he bleeds orange, and he loves this university. And I'm like, I love the Titans, but you don't want to put me in charge of drafting, do you? No, because I have no experience in that. And yet 3 years ago, the same people who are saying right now, I'm glad Fulmer's gone, I'm glad Pruitt's gone, are the same people that supported Fulmer in the coup of John Curry. And that's what bothers me, is nobody, Mark, is learning from their past bad behavior. It's all short-sighted right now stuff. And that's why Tennessee can never get themselves out of the rut they're in right now, because nobody, the fans, the administration, the boosters, the athletic director, nobody over there can think big picture, ever. And it drives me insane. They can't think about more than 5 years down the road. I'll give you an example. Mike Vrabel, if he has a bad year this year, they're not going to fire him, because they shouldn't fire him, because he's a good coach. And we all know he's a good coach. And that's what drives me insane, Mark. It's driving me insane is that Tennessee fans are as fickle as the wind, and the administration is the same way. And it just drives me bananas.
Well, I think one of the big fallacies in life is, you know, the whole Peter Principle theory that, you know, a lot of people eventually rise to the level of their own incompetence. And what I mean is, just because you were a good player doesn't mean you're going to be a good coach. Just because you're a good coach doesn't mean you'd be a good executive. You know, look at John Elway in Denver. Other than signing Peyton Manning, what did he really do? You know, it's not just because John Elway was a Hall of Fame quarterback doesn't mean he can spot talent. Just because Philip Fulmer was a Hall of Fame coach, that doesn't mean he was going to be a good AD. And I think people fall into that trap. They go, oh, you know, he was a great coach. So he's obviously good. And he loves the school. So he's going to be a great AD. No, that doesn't always ensure success. And in this particular case, you know, what happened here, you know, when he started to realize that his hire was not so good. You know, the old line, the Titans used to talk about going from good to great. Well, the Vols have gone from bad to worse, and it's under his watch. And I don't think that was going to change very much next year. I mean, even if they'd allowed Pruitt to come back, I just didn't see them being any more than maybe a 6-6 team, which is unacceptable, you know, in year three.
615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. That's next. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, The Game.
What a toxic mess. What an absolutely bungled, toxic mess. If they're going to do this, it needs to be done in a timely way. And by delaying everything the way that they have put themselves in a situation that complicates the coaching search. It complicates recruiting tremendously. It makes the players that are already here think that they're going to be left holding the bag, and other recruits for down the road thinking, I don't want to be anywhere near a place like that. It makes you wonder if the recruits that signed in the early signing period were told the truth, or if they felt like they were told the truth as to what was going on, because if they weren't, they're going back to their high schools.
That was Trevor Maddich. Boy, I'd hate to have signed with Tennessee 3 days ago or 3 weeks ago or whatever it is. Mark Howard is with us, Stillman and Company. To the phones we go, as promised. Chris is up next on Philip Fulmer. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, first let me say I can't stand the little tangerines, and I think this is great. But Fulmer was upset when he gets fired. So what's the chances of him coming back, hiring a bad coach on purpose, letting this go on to make
people think, oh, I look better. Wish you still had me, don't you?
I would say 0%, and I appreciate your call, Chris. I would argue 0%. I always did have a problem, though, Mark, with the idea of 10 years ago we fired this guy because the game had passed him, and now we're going to give him a promotion and put him in charge of the entire athletic program. I never understood it. I understood why the fans would like it, but I never understood why tactically it actually made sense at Tennessee.
Well, and I'll tell you why. Because nobody is as politically adept as Philip Fulmer. And Philip, he should write a manual on getting fired by your school but not burning bridges. Unlike Johnny Majors, you know, he was upset, but he didn't napalm relationships. And he stayed friends with a lot of those people on the board, the John Thorntons, the Haslams, you know, the people like that. Although that there were some definite factions when there was a coaching search. And that's going to be a really interesting part of this one. So I don't believe that for a second. Jared, you got to really, it's an interesting road to go down. But there is an alternate history here that was almost written 3+ years ago, before John Curry got fired. Had Chip Kelly taken the Florida job, and he was offered it, but he decided he didn't have the stomach to recruit in the SEC and decided to turn it down. But if Chip Kelly takes the Florida job, Dan Mullen probably ends up at Tennessee, and we're having a totally different conversation. And that's what happens sometimes in life. Instead, Kelly said no. Mullen goes to Florida. Curry gets fired. Fulmer comes in. You know the rest.
But do you know what bothers me that no one's going to pick up on that I think is it, like it's a foundation issue. It's not just a, you know, Mullen was going to go here and then Florida came open, so he took the job. Dan Mullen in 2021 doesn't make the move from Mississippi State to Tennessee. Just like Luke Fickell in 2021 doesn't make the move from Cincinnati to Tennessee. In 2017, Luke Fickell, if he was the coach at Cincinnati, would have made the move to Tennessee. In fact, we saw in 2012, the coach from Cincinnati made the move to Tennessee. And that's the thing I keep getting out, is after all of the drama and all of the coups and all of the Twitters and all of the everything, people don't want this job anymore because they think everybody's crazy. It's like the Houston Texans. If Deshaun Watson leaves Houston, there will be no player that wants to sign there until Cal McNair isn't the owner anymore, unless they just pay him to where you can't say no. That is when you do that kind of damage to your brand, you pay for it much longer than just next year, next coaching hire, next. It becomes a thing where, again, the Tennessee job, the guys we're talking about for the Tennessee job are the same guys we were talking about for the Vandy job. Jamie Chapwell or the Coastal Carolina coach. That's what we're talking about now. I mean, Luke Fickell, in a normal life, the Cincinnati coach should jump at the opportunity to take the Tennessee job. And he would have no interest in this job. And that's the damage they've done to the brand. And I'm with you. You know, what's the alternate history if Dan Mullen ends up taking this job? And Dan Mullen probably has much more success than Jeremy Pruitt. Maybe John Curry's still the athletic director. Maybe Tennessee is back to being Tennessee. But because he didn't, and then everything that has transpired since, it really bothers me about what the long-term ramifications for Tennessee are going to be. And I feel like everybody's ignoring it right now.
Well, but also, too, the one sort of saving grace, and that's what just, and this is the part that just cracks me up, is the mercenary aspect of being a college football coach. In other words, say Tom Herman wants to come here, and that's a name that's been floating out there, and a pretty fascinating one at that, but unlikely, because if I'm Tom Herman, I sit out a year, count my money and see what's available. after the 2021 season. But my point is, it's a lot easier to assemble a staff, even though everything seems to be you know, pretty much locked in, because guys leave staffs all the time, even after getting hired. It's crazy. You've seen guys change jobs now two times, you know, since the season ended. So at least in terms of assembling a staff, if you hire the right guy and he inspires enough confidence that he's going to be around for a few years, he can assemble a decent staff. So in terms of that with Trevor, you know, I would sort of tend to disagree. Now, recruiting, you know, salvaging this class, you know, really becomes a big priority. And they think they can do that with Kevin Steele, you know, who has been around the block, you know, definitely knows what he's doing, you know, in terms of recruiting. But, you know, he's a placeholder right now. I don't see Kevin Steele being the interim coach for a whole season at Tennessee. I just think it really sets you back in terms of recruiting. But whatever the case, you're right. You're right. The brand is damaged, and it's going to scare off some really good candidates.
It's a mess. It is a mess. 615-737-1025. I have barely even touched the text line, so we will get into those coming up next. But one thing that bothers me, and again, I keep saying this over and over again, is I feel like people are ignoring the most important aspects of the Tennessee coaching search. One thing that really I think Vol fans are struggling with, and I want to get to that coming up next, because once you realize it, once you make amends with it, I think then the program can go forward. But if the fans aren't willing to do this, I'm not sure they can. We'll get to that next. Mark Howard's with us. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.